Good morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. If you're visiting, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments of fellowship and refreshment in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. During coffee hour today, there is a sign-up list for American Baptist Women's Ministry's White Cross requests. There are a few items of small items that need to be purchased, but also cash donations are being asked for. So if you'd like to sign up on that, we encourage you to do so. Also, something about from the American Baptist Women's Ministry's, the Judson Women, was having their toy harvest on Saturday the 22nd, I believe it is. And so all toy donations will be needed to be brought in by next Sunday the 16th. Because that's the Judson Women Toy Harvest. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. And just calling your attention to that, the church office will be closed on Tuesday. However, there is programming going on, including the worship service at Glen Ridge in the afternoon. Also, there's a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel for coffee hour hosts and greeters. I believe November is filled, but if you would like to get a head start on December, feel free to sign up for one of those Sundays during December. Also, I've been playing Lost and Found. Different items have been found in the last weeks. One I've been able to relocate. However, a bracelet was found 2 weeks ago. And if anyone lost a bracelet here in the sanctuary 2 weeks ago, you can speak with me after the service and we can get it back to you. Or if you know who they did, get them in touch with me. So this time I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal. It's a selection number 624 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from a variety of verses from both the New and Old Testaments as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, I will say of the Lord, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Our opening hymn is Open My Eyes That I May See, number 461 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. As we gather this day, O God, we do pray for open eyes, ears, hearts, and minds. Send your Spirit to move within and among us, awakening, calming, challenging, and encouraging us. May our words and actions be pleasing to you and offer you all the praise and all the glory that is due your name. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning. This morning, I saw and heard that you were singing the opening hymn. And did you know that you were praying as you were doing that? Did you realize that? You were asking God to open your what? Well, heart was one of them. What was the first? Do you remember what the first one? Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may listen or hear. What was next? No, it wasn't open my mouth. No, mouth was not in that. No, what? It wasn't nose. What was the other one? What was the next one? Oh, wait, heart. Heart. And what does a heart do? I know it beats. So you can breathe, but also so you can feel. And the last was open my mind so that I may understand. That's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? To have, ask God to, that I may have all things open, that God may communicate with me. And it's very different from some of the prayers that we pray, because a lot of times we'll pray, God, I'd like this, I'd like that, please help so-and-so. But instead of saying, I'd like this or I need this, it's saying, God, help me to be open to you in my life. So I can see what's going on. I can hear what's going on. My mind is open. My heart is open to having you work through me. Having God's Spirit, not a ghost, but God's Spirit working through us and working among us, to bring us closer together as members of this congregation, of this church family, but also going outside the church building and helping others in the way that Jesus would want us to do. So that's important for us that, you know, you didn't probably realize, but you were praying this morning. We prayed the Lord's Prayer by speaking out loud. We prayed when I prayed out loud and you were silent and you had your mind and you were listening. We prayed as we were singing this morning. So many different ways of praying. And all of that, we pray that, and we hope that God heard all of those and will answer those affirmatively and helping us, you know, being more in tune. And I know that you're going to be going to your Sunday school classes in just a moment, and I hope there that your eyes, your ears, your heart, and your mind will be open there as well. Notice it's not your mouth being open. The teacher's mouth will be open. The teacher may ask you to open your mouth at some point, but it's so that that you can be learning. And sometimes it's difficult to sometimes learn when our mouth is going, isn't it? Because we can't hear somebody else if we're talking. So I'm just putting a plug in for the teachers this morning. So hopefully they will be able to you know, have a conversation with you, then it's your time to talk, but not your time all the time. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we've already spent several moments in prayer. We do pray that we may have open eyes and ears and minds and hearts, that we may have your Spirit coming into us in worship, in our Sunday school classes. As we're here together in this building and as we leave and depart from our separate ways, we just pray that your Spirit will continue to be with us. We ask this all now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may go to your classes. Here this morning, several requests about church family members. We want to continue remembering Lucille Berry, and both Dorothy and Lana are here. That means you must have an aide at home today that's working out, so that's good. I know it's been a struggle, so. But I think you still, weekday, we're still working on that. So we want to continue to remember Lucille, but also caregivers and the search for good search for capable caregivers for Lucille as well. Also, I spoke with Helen Fleet this week. Helen started physical therapy this week, has been able to walk with a walker around her sister's home, and now starting physical therapy on steps, and sees the doctor in a month, and hopefully will be able to go home after that. But was very excited that be able to start physical therapy this past week. Also, Irene Hoffman had further tests on Friday. They have come up with a diagnosis, but they are waiting for lab results to come back on some biopsies that they took before they decide on a course of plan. So she said she has to wait it out. So she is feeling a little bit better, but still is not 100%. So we want to continue to remember Irene Hoffman in prayer. And I received an email from Mona Hatch that her sister-in-law, Jean McDonnell, is hospitalized with either a seizure or a stroke. Seems to have been improving over the last couple days, but we do want to keep Jean in prayer today. Also, Claire Stevens fell this morning at home and is not here today, but seems to be okay. As far as I know, did not go to the hospital, did not require a visit to the hospital, but just was not able to come here today. So I want to keep Claire in prayer as well. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning, either celebrations or concerns? Your sister Winnie, who lost her son last month. So I want to keep her and her family in prayer. Dottie, oh, congratulations. New great-grandson, and Cassidy has a brother, so that's wonderful news. Congratulations. Henry, did I see your hand? Mm-hmm. Right, we've been praying for Aiden for quite a while now, but not doing as well now. Okay, so we're thankful that Isaiah's doing okay right now, but Aiden's not, so we want to keep Aiden in prayer today. Mm-hmm. Any other requests for prayer? Yes, Donna. Right, so we'll pray for families with foster children, that there can be a development of love there, a showering of love. Okay. Yes, sir. A woman who whose daughter is pregnant and expecting a child but not doing very well, so we want to pray for the mother and the baby to be born, and also another friend who's hospitalized with terminal cancer. And we want to pray for both of those families today. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up. Well, the perfect timing, Kevin Quinn. How's your mom doing? Great. Karen had surgery a week ago, about 10 days ago. So, and it's good to have you here. So nice to see you. So let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests that have been made or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, thank you for the opportunity of coming together this day in this place to worship you. Some of us just walked down the street to be here, and others have driven many miles to be here, perhaps even taken an airplane to be here this day. Lord, we're just grateful that as we gather that your Spirit is among us. We just pray now, Lord, that you will receive our prayers, both our silent petitions and our corporate prayers to you. Lord, as we've lifted up these requests to you, We pray especially for those who are ill today, especially those who are recuperating from surgery and injury. We just pray, Lord, that your healing touch may be upon their lives, if that is according to your will. We pray for those that are expecting new children, Lord, and just pray for the health of mothers especially, but the infants-to-be as well. We also pray, O God, for our families today. We pray that there may be love within our families, whether they are by birth or adoption or especially foster families. And Lord, we just pray that those families that have welcomed children into their families, that were strangers at one time but are becoming family members, we pray that there may be a bond of love between adults, perhaps other siblings, and these new children in the family. It's a time of transition for them, Lord, and it can be a time of being afraid, being scary, especially if being moved from one family to another. Lord, we pray that all the children in the system, that they may find permanent homes where they are wanted and loved and adopted eventually to become a permanent part of that family. Lord, we also pray for our elected leaders, especially those who are newly elected this week. We pray for guidance for them as they begin their new terms. Lord, we offer all of these things up to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have many ways to worship, and one of those is through presenting our tithes and our gifts. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we ask that you would bless these gifts and bless us, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Dorothy Berry is our lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. As we have read and heard from the Apostle Paul this morning, that your Spirit prays for us, prays with us. Lord, there are those times when we just don't know what to pray or how to pray. And we are thankful that your Spirit is available for us to pray on our behalf. Lord, this day we ask that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a message from you that may help us and strengthen us for our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Does God really hear us when we pray? The Bible tells us over and over that God does. The psalmist wrote, "When I was in trouble, I called to the Lord, and he heard me." But prayer may not be that easy for some of us, and many of us may struggle with our prayers sometimes. One of the reasons we wonder from time to time whether God hears us when we pray is that it's almost impossible for us to visualize God receiving all of our prayers. We try to picture God in human terms, and we know that we would not be capable of hearing everyone's prayers all at once. In fact, some of us have difficulty multitasking with two or three things, let alone responding to billions of prayer requests at one time. This concept was illustrated 3 weeks ago during our combined worship service with Global Ark and Casa de Fe El Abanza. The congregation gathered that morning, prayed the Lord's Prayer in unison, but in different languages. If you were here, you may have had a glimpse of what it must be like for God to receive all the prayers of his people. Some of us may have a less personal picture of God, where the image is of the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God of the universe. And if that is our only image of God, then we may not think that God would be interested in little old us, in our rather unimportant needs, desires, and requests. Whatever our picture of God may be, it becomes increasingly difficult for us to visualize the fact that God hears us individually and collectively, so that we may come to the conclusion that God doesn't hear us at all. And if God doesn't hear us, there's not much use in praying. So perhaps we need to change the way we envision God. Instead of thinking of God as someone at the end of a long-distance telephone call, we can envision him as a living spirit within us. In other words, we can try to think of our prayers not as long-distance calls, by which we are trying to reach someone way out there, but instead, some out there, maybe hundreds or thousands of miles away. But rather than that image, if we envision our prayers as intensely local calls, by which we are communicating with someone who is already with us. There's always the joke now that people with cell phones, especially with teenagers, they'd rather communicate with their parents and others, even in the same household, through text messages and telephone cell phone calls, rather than one-on-one communication. But if we envision our prayers as being that close, that personal, it's not impossible to believe that the life that took the trouble to create us is aware of our troubles and our needs. The Apostle Paul talks about our body being the temple of the Spirit of God. And this morning the choir sang, "Every time I feel the Spirit in my heart, moving in my heart, I will pray." This morning's scripture we read, a little different translation than Dorothy read. The Spirit helps us with our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit speaks to God for us, even begs God for us with deep feelings that words cannot explain. In other words, Paul is saying the longing we have in us, the reaching upward of desire that we may never know how to express, these longings are the Spirit of God in us praying for us. This may help us overcome the feeling that God is remote, distant, or far away. There is another more practical reason that we sometimes wonder whether God hears us, and this is that we don't always get an answer. Years ago, when human operators were needed to complete telephone calls, there was a saying that went like this: "No answer, no charge." Today, we often believe that if there's no answer, then no one is at home. But that's not quite true when it comes to our prayers. In the first place, we usually don't expect a verbal answer to prayer as we expect it from a letter, email, phone call, text message, or conversation. The answers to prayers may come in the course of events or in the things that happen to us. So we must tune our ears to hear God's response. We must be open to and aware of God moving in our lives. It's like the child who was told by his father during a symphony orchestra concert, "Listen for the flutes in the song. Don't they sound beautiful?" The child, unable to distinguish the flutes, looks up at his father and with a puzzled look and says, "What flutes, father?" The child first needs to learn what flutes sound like on their own, separate from the whole orchestra, before he can hear them in a symphony. So it is with us as children of God. Unless we take the time to hear God's voice in the quiet moments of life, we will not be able to hear him in the symphony sounds of life. God does not always respond like a flute. In the publication Fast Company, chess master and sought-after mentor Bruce Pandolfini wrote, "My lessons consist of a lot of silence. I listen to other teachers, and they're always talking. I let my students think. If they do ask a question and I don't get the right answer, I'll rephrase the question and wait. I never give the answer." Most of us really don't appreciate the power of silence. Some of the most effective communication between student and teacher takes place during silent periods. In our prayer life, God is sometimes silent. But there is another possibility, of course, and that is that the answer is no. That God has heard us, but his answer is no, or not yet. And even though it's hard to take no for an answer from anybody, let alone from God, we know that we are not always going to get everything we ask for in prayer. For example, no matter how much he may want to I don't believe that God will answer the prayer of a student who turned in his test paper and prayed, "Oh God, please let Paris be the capital of England." What about the words of Jesus when he said, "Whatever you pray about and ask for, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours." The disciples James and John asked Jesus to give them places of priority, to let them sit on either side of him in his coming kingdom. Do you remember what Jesus answered them? He said, "You don't know what you're asking. You may be able to drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to give you places on either side of me, this is not for me to give. They will be given to those for whom they have been prepared." Jesus was saying point blank that there was some things he could not do, some things he could not give them, no matter how often they asked for them or how much they wanted them. But going back to Jesus' instructions about praying, believing, and receiving, in the first instance, Jesus meant that when we pray, we should pray with the simple trust and confidence of a child. And secondly, we should also pray with the humility of a child, knowing that not everything we want and ask for will our Heavenly Father give us. We also know that Jesus did not get everything he asked for. On the very last night of his life, Jesus asked to be spared the agony of death. When we ask for things in absolute confidence and trust, as he taught us to ask, we also ask with the same kind of humility, always ask, adding to our prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." When we're struggling with unanswered prayer, we should always envision the cross on which Jesus died after he had asked to be spared. His prayer was not granted, and as he was dying upon that cross, he continued to pray for his enemies first, for the lost ones around him that were suffering the same plight as himself. Then he prayed for his friends, and finally, he prayed for himself. May we also be in prayer for our enemies, for the lost ones around us, for our friends, and for ourselves, having the confidence that the words we utter and those that we are not able to speak but are offered for us by God's Spirit travel from our lips to God's ears. And may we live with patience as we await God's response. Let's pray together. Lord, for some of us, prayer comes very easily, and others of us struggle. But all of us, Lord, I think at times have felt, have wondered, are you there? Are you at home? Have you received my prayer? Have you heard me? Lord, forgive us if we act like spoiled children, demanding things on our time frame. Lord, we pray that we may always come to you in humility, be open to your Spirit leading in our lives. Lord, we know that some things are just beyond our speaking, and we are thankful that your Spirit can pray for us. But Lord, we do pray that you do receive our prayers, that you know what is best for us, and we pray that our prayers may be aligning with your will for our lives and for the world and your plan for it. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ that not only taught but also modeled prayer for us. And it's in his name that we ask all of these things. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is "I Am Thine, O Lord," number 473. As we prepare to depart, may the words of the Apostle Paul guide us on our journey. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord goes with you. Do not be anxious, but in everything, in prayer and thanksgiving, present your lives to God, and God's peace will guard and guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.